down in Yucca Valley in the mountain. In the mountain where all the nuclear waste has been put. Now, I don't know if you've been there, heard about it. Maybe you've been fighting against it. It's obvious that many have wanted it shut down. And it looks like now it's shut down. But what do you do with the nuclear waste? I mean, anywhere, everywhere, around the world, nuclear waste. And didn't the fires out in Arizona just not too long ago threaten some of the area where nuclear waste is stored? Nuclear waste, Yucca Mountain, or wherever it's put. I'm reading right here the EPA's rule. EPA published in the Federal Register a final rule in 2009. The new rule limits the radiation doses from Yucca Mountain for up to 1 million years after it closes. 1 million years after it closes. Now, I gotta stop for a moment. That's a long time. That's an amazing amount of time. They're dealing with nuclear waste. They're foreseeing that there's nothing they can do to alter it, nothing else they can do but to store it, to put it somewhere, to contain it. It goes on to say, and I quote, within that regulatory time frame, the EPA has two dose standards that would apply based on the number of years from the time the facility is closed. For the first 10,000 years, the EPA would retain 2001 final rules put out in 2001, in other words, the dose limit of 15 millirem per year. This is protection at the level of the most stringent radiation regulations in the United States. Now listen, from 10,000 to 1 million years, the EPA established a dose limit of 100 millirem per year. Amazing. I mean, I'm thinking through this, and, you know, it's toxic. The nuclear waste, the radiation issues, it's toxic. It can kill and change everything and bring deformities and, you know, Chernobyl. And you can think through this a little bit, but I never had any idea that it was going to be a million years. What about hell? I mean, hell, I don't know if you understand, hell is a very toxic place where the will of, the dark side, Satan, the, you know, fallen angels, it's biblically clear they are toxic, never change, never will change. As a matter of fact, take a check to this. This is the book of Revelation when it comes to chapter 20. After Christ returns, 1,000-year reign. The peace is spread for 1,000 years, no war, on and on. Christ is here. When the 1,000 years is over, here's what it says in verse 7, Satan was released from his prison. That's what it's called, a prison. That's what it's all about. Gehenna, Hades, hell, a containment. I mean, think about the abyss right now, containment. The moment the abyss is open, that which is in there, they're unleashed and do what their nature is all about. If not for God's sovereign restriction, they would strike everybody and everything. But if you read about the abyss, the entities in the abyss, horrific, horrifying, they're going to come, and only those with the mark of God, the Spirit of God, only those would be protected. When it comes to Satan's release after the 1,000-year reign, guess what happens? He goes out to get the folks again. They march across the breadth of the earth surrounding the camp of God's people, the city he loves. Now, it's pretty interesting that we finally have here, after the 1,000-year reign, and let me tell you this, there's not a whole lot of biblical revelation about the 1,000-year millennium, chilism, as it says in the early church, from the Greek word. The 1,000-year reign of Christ foretold, yes. Satan's being bound for 1,000 years, yes. And the picture, again, the revelation of this is that he is in prison, containment, no change, no altering in his personality, his will, his mind, his heart, his agenda. He comes to attack again. He comes to make war again. He comes to bring destruction again. But here at the very end is the finality. He is he's going to be thrown into the lake. And again, God reveals a lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Have you read that? Revelation 20. Well, go to verse 11. John now, out of this entire book, Jesu Christu, Apocalypse, Jesu Christu, the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades... Please understand this now. Here is now the annihilation of death. Here now is the end of death. Here now is the death of death because of the death of Christ. Oh, the death and resurrection of Christ. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And everything that tells us in history's cultural recordings of Hades, vast place, vast domain, down in there supposedly somewhere, Tartaru. They're thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, here's what God says. Now, the lake of fire is the second death. Now, here is the warning. In mass advance, 2,000 years, this has been laid out now. Here's what it says, verse 15. If anybody's name was not found written in the book of life, that is the Lamb's book of life, that is those born of the Spirit of God, knowing the living Christ, they have received God's mercy, grace, love, answer, their sin forgiven, their sin code broken, their legalities tied to Satan and to hell, all broken. Christ, the blood of Christ, God in human flesh, has annihilated Satan and hell's rights. And you and I that have received Christ, our names literally, clearly, crystal clear in the book of life. Hallelujah. Can you say it? But the rest, it says this. Anyone's name not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now you got to understand the second death. This is the second death. This is the final separation. And it's pretty clear right here. Day and night, forever and ever and ever. Let's take a step back. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. It's the 6th of July, a Wednesday night. We're already 10 minutes into the 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time broadcast. Glad to be with you tonight. Glad to engage a subject that is, by biblical revelation, defined and detailed beyond anything else written about it. And it is used in the context of warning. Used in the context that there will be a containment. There will be prison, per se. A containment of unyielding, fixed, radical evil. Hatred of God, rejection of God. Where whether fallen angel on the demonic side or human side, where there has been no change in the transmuted will, heart, mind. You see, we've got to remember something. We've been changed. The human race, since the fall of the human race, it has been changed. We have no idea of the depth of the destruction of what was original. We have no idea of the altering. We have no idea of what we once were. And the depth of this infection of sin. The wages of that sin is death. And the ultimate wages of the sin that leads to physical death, separation from God, can lead, I hope you're listening, I hope your ears are perked, can lead to the second death, which is finality, which is forever and ever and ever, shut out from the presence of God, lost forever, never the ability to be recovered. Not just like nuclear waste, 1 million years. That's what the EPA is trying to do. They're trying to make sure for 1 million years nobody's affected. So they've got to contain something that is so toxic. Monitor it. I don't think you want your kids playing in toxic waste. I don't think you want to live next door to it. I don't think you want to be there to be affected by it. If you and I can understand the transmutation of the original once anointed guardian cherub, Ezekiel 28, if we can understand that his sanctuaries were desecrated. Now, he used to walk among the fiery stones of God, but everything changed. Jesus says in him, referring to his nature, you can say the DNA, the genetics, referring to his nature. Guess what? There is no truth. Not one iota left inside. Everything shows us that for thousands and thousands of years, Satan, the fallen ones, are all bent on war against God, deception of humanity, drawing other recruits in. What's going to change your nature? What's going to change and fix that Satan-oriented fallen nature? As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that if you're lost, you have a fallen nature. If you're lost, Satan has rights. That fallen nature is a platform for his side. Take a read. You can look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse, listen, Ephesians chapter 2, simply, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the arche, the ruler of the power of the air. He's there right now. As you listen, as I speak over these airwaves, Satan's presence is real. He's operative. And there's going to be an attempt at Armageddon once more to annihilate God in Christ. Radical evil is toxic. It doesn't change, not for thousands of years. There's nothing in the sum total of biblical revelation that somehow, by itself, it will be altered again and turned back to the original good side. Something else has to happen, and it has. An old rugged cross. I don't even know if we understand the depth of what God has done in Christ on the cross. It alters DNA. It alters genetics. I mean, in the sense that at the moment you receive Christ into your life, the Spirit of God comes in and there is a planting in of the gift of eternal life. So that at the glorification, which is the culmination of salvation, if you're saved right now, praise God. If you're saved right now, the guarantee, Ephesians chapter 1, the Spirit of God inside is the guarantee of what is to come, and that is the glorification. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, a flash, mortal will be changed. Immortality, indestructible, irreversible, pretty awesome. Immortality. Because of the work of God in Christ. No question about that. Now, let me say again, regardless of where you're coming from, welcome to all those listening by satellite. Welcome to all those listening by internet radio. Welcome to all of you around the world by the downloads. Glad you're here. Glad you're with us. Glad you're listening in. And may this be an incredible supernatural hour in which God engages you. May the Lord Jesus, may God's hand be stretched out to save, to heal, to deliver. May extraordinary, in this day, extraordinary miracle be done in Jesus' name for you, for those listening. May Satan and the work of the demonic be destroyed. May those clinging to doctrines of demons. Oh, may God break that hold and open your eyes by the sovereign Spirit of God to the Christ that loves you. Hey, what about technology? I mean, not just a ground-penetrating radar, not just the deep earth tunnel boring machines, you know, the mole, Big Becky they call her, you know, the things that are digging deep down into the ground. I mean, that's what they had to use to build a deep, very, very deep level nuclear waste containment there at Yucca Mountain. And once again, if science, think in terms of science. I mean, there's Ray Kurzweil, there is others, maybe even Stephen Hawking. There are many that believe that science, in its pursuit in the areas of biology, in the area of genetics, in the area of AI, artificial intelligence, in all these areas, they're believing that a singularity is coming. Bottom line, that science will save man. Science will grab immortality. Science will fix death. I wonder if science could engage hell. I wonder if some kind of technology could get. Listen, what can science do about hell? What can science do about the radical nature of mankind? I mean, listen, do you understand that there is the concept of gene splicing, that geneticists are thinking they can go in and maybe find the gene that's going to be like Jeffrey Dahmer? It's going to predict that he's going to do the evil he's going to do. So you just take that gene out, put in the good gene, put in the nice gene. It means what science is doing on the highest level is looking for a way to change the genetic, the DNA. You're trying to change the nature of humanity. You know why? Step back now. Why? Something's wrong. Evil springs up in humanity's heart. Since the fall of the human race, people have been killing and slaughtering and raping and warring and cheating and lying and deceiving and destroying and on and on. And as the dark side ramps up in the world around us, it is predicted that billions will die. Billions of human beings. The worst environmental destruction of the earth in human history is just before us. And it's all because of radical evil, the toxic of radical evil, the unchanging toxic of radical evil. Not once in all these thousands of years has evil hearts on their own, by themselves, changed. There's not one demon that has ever decided to repent. There's not one fallen angel that has ever confessed, I'm sorry I did this. I want to change now. I want to turn around now. I want to go back now. And even though there are human beings like you and I that in the midst of our living in this world and sometimes ignorantly, we want to quit doing drugs, quit doing alcohol, quit fighting, quit being in all the terrible relationships that we get into. Somehow we want to change our lives, do something different. We're getting older. We're getting older. We want to beat death. We want to beat fallen human nature. But it seems like the scripture is true that the leopard cannot change his own spots. You take the pig out of the mud, you put a suit on him, you put a hat on him, you put some sunglasses on him, you make him look cool, put him at your dinner table. It's going to still be a pig. Can the princess kiss the frog and turn him into a prince? Really? What changes the heart of a human being? It's not the science of man, it's the science of God. It's not the physics of the greatest of scientists, it's the physics of God. Salvation is the physics of God. Salvation is the science of God. Salvation is the philosophy of God. Salvation is the theology of God. It involves the ability of God to come into your life and nix the sin nature, the sin code, and implant a new nature Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God inside of you. Instantly, you are united with God. Instantly, the power of sanctification drawing you deep into Christ, into God, into His Word, into His revelation, into His character. Change occurs at the moment of salvation. It's an eternal thing. It's a destiny changer. You can read that in the Gospel of John. Even Jesus talks about it, that those who have believed, those who have received Christ, those who are saved, well, they've crossed over. They've exchanged the dominion of darkness for the kingdom of God. They've exchanged the sin nature for a new nature. They've exchanged the guilt and sin and rightfully so judgment for absolute justification and peace with God. Where's the technology? Where's the science? Let's ask the military men and women. Let's ask the DOD. Let's ask DARPA. Is there something you can do to change and alter humanity? I had another radio talk show individual contact me. And I want to share this tonight because I know there's military men and women that listen. What do you know about Delta Force? Now, there's a discussion that goes on the phone last night about Delta Force and some of the teaching and some of the tactics, some of the things that are being used that alter a person's thinking. And they were going into a lot of it, and I said that, you know what, I'll throw this out. And for those, and anyone knows Delta Force, send us a note. ShadowTheDarkness.net, right-hand side, scroll down. There is a contact. Click on that. The email, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Is there an altering? What about chosen ones? What about Satan's technology of splitting the human core, programming the imposition of another will? The literally de-patterning of a human being's will and ability to will and imposing program into that will, thus changing them. A forced imposition of somebody else's will. And in multi-nations around the world today, where there are hundreds of thousands upon thousands who've been through the process, oh, it's radical evil. It's all about the troops of Antichrist. It's all about changing the nature of man into an absolute subservient of Satan. The programming is for the New World Order. The programming is for the Antichrist. The programming is anti-God. The programming is Antichrist. The demonization then empowered on human will that has been de-patterned and then programmed. So let me ask, when it comes to objections about hell, let me throw this out there now for you to think about. If there are those that are saying, you know what, God is love, let's believe in universalism, let's believe in conditional immortality, let's believe in annihilationism because we just can't believe that it can be forever. We just can't believe that there can be a hell, that people are going to be there for that long. We just can't believe all of that. So maybe what can happen is down the road, God can program people. God can de-pattern them. God can annihilate their actual will and then program them. Let me tell you something about salvation. The engagement of the Spirit of God in bringing this this salvation, in summoning us to come to Christ, you know what it involves? It involves breaking down the dark barriers, cutting through Satan's blinding, cutting through the power of the sin nature, and bringing to us, in other words, liberating the will to the point where you can be someone that chooses God again. You can choose Christ. Without that enablement, you can't. You ever read it in Romans 10? How can they believe on whom they've not heard? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you understand the power of that? Do you understand the power of the Word of God goes down to the core of the human construct? And enables. The gospel is a power from God. Again, science of God, physics of God. The Greek word dunamis. It is the power of God to enable in the engagement. And you might be, engaged. Maybe you've been listening for a while. I get notes all the time. I've been listening for 2 years. I've been listening for a year. Listen, you might be listening and listening and listening. And the best thing I can tell you is jump into the Gospel of John, jump into the Gospel of Mark, and read and read and read and allow God by His Word to enable you. Let the Spirit of God, in the use of the Word of God, enable you. Because the blinding work of Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and the sin nature, without being interrupted, you can never turn on your own, because the fallen nature, your nature, if you're lost, is so corrupted, maybe not in your eyes, but in the sight of God, in the sight of what we once were, so dark and so corrupted, so cut off, you don't have the ability on your own to change. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God's use of the Word of God that blast back the darkness. Lift your free human will up, empowering you to make that concurrent choice. Yes, faith in Christ. And at that concurrent moment, the Spirit of God bringing the fullness of the living Christ and all that was done at the cross inside you. Massive exchange. At the deepest level, I mean the deepest of the deepest level of your being, it has to be altered. And nothing outside of God in all these thousands and thousands of years, not psychology, not philosophies, not man-made religions, not a drug, not even in the genetics. They can't find the death code. They can't stop the death gene. They can't stop this. It's related to sin. It's related to the fallen nature. And that fallen nature, Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those, in anyone, well, who's disobedient. I mean, who doesn't know Christ. You're fixed in one nature or the other. Hell's forbidden secrets revealed this week. Well, one of the issues is this. It is literally, even now, a kind of toxic waste containment. Let me ask you a question. Why do we think down the road somebody's going to say yes to Christ when here they haven't? What's this all about? When it comes to dying and then a second death, how long? God is very patient with humanity. In prophetic revelation, 2 Peter chapter 2, the only reason for Christ not returning yet, the primary reason, the salvation of mankind, that God, the Greek word boulomai, in his determined counsel, he is not willing that anybody would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Stop. Repentance. Metanoia, change. God, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, engages fallen humanity, dying humanity, hell-bent humanity, sin-filled humanity, Satan's rights in human, fallen human humanity. God embraces, God engages, God summons. You ever read it in Romans that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance? The only way for metanoia, the only way for change on a body, soul, spirit level, on a level of destiny, on a level of permanent, fixed nature. Well, that's what Jesus meant. Gnostics don't understand this. New Agers don't understand this. Anyone that is operating from dark spirits teaching some kind of alternative view, they don't understand this. Dark spirits can't offer what God offers, nor would they want to. They're fixed in their nature. They can't. They are willed in their nature. They would not want to. Once again, I'll say that Satan, demons, fallen ones, and so forth, there's not an iota, not a shred of evidence that they want to change. As a matter of fact, after being contained for 1,000 years, you think that would do it? You think prison containment? You think that would do it for Satan himself, a fallen cherub? You think he'd want his job back? You think he'd want to be the once anointed guardian cherub again? You think he'd want to come back? No, he wants to go kill God instantly. No change in his nature, in his being, in his will, in his mind, in his emotion, in his... So what about this change? Let's stop for a moment and think about objections to hell's existence. By the way, if you're new, again, Russ Izdar here, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. On that website, www.shatterthedarkness.net, you can look down, take your time. There's a lot of stuff on that website, and purposely so. There are, on the left-hand side, training courses. There's devotional things. There's a session on the abyss. There's dynamic discipleship. There's supernatural apologetics, theocentric counseling, freedom encounters training, the 20-some hours of teaching on the Holy Spirit, the book of Daniel, confronting the powers, exposing Satanism, and on and on and on and on. And we're adding more and more and more, including dark rituals, dark powers, spiritual warfare's basics, the rise of Homo Satanus, a prayer series, developing the book of Acts, though we've been offline on that for a couple of months because of the flood and everything changing here. If everything goes well this weekend, we will move and be back at that developing training course. But in other words, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of MP3s, training courses and materials are all there. So you might want to take your time to go through. They're all free. They're all for you. By God's goodness and grace, through 40, 50 other people out there, we're enabled to be here. And if you're interested, here's the quick commercial. If you're interested, we don't have product commercials. We don't have business purchasing commercials. We don't do it that way. If you want to be involved and we need your involvement, on that website, there's just a tab that says support. Take a look at it. That's how we do things. But the emphasis here is, as you look over the website, please understand hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those downloads and materials. And a future Congress is coming up. We'll talk a lot about that next week again. But I wanted to mention that we have the broadcast quick notes tonight on this Wednesday night. A, objections to hell's existence. B, do you have a better idea? And C, does the church, any spiritual leaders, anyone else, does anybody really need to water down, to whitewash the biblical revelation of Hades, Gehenna, hell, Tartaru, the lake of fire? And if so, what's the reason? I think one of the reasons simply is self-justification. A human equation of that's not fair. I got instantly, and I was looking over response to that tonight, and without question, and instantly, God brought to me Job 40. We'll go there in a moment. Let's go to point A, objections to hell's existence. What are they? Here's the primary one across the board. Whether the old Gnostics, New Agers, whether Rob Bell and his book Elvis, Velvet Elvis and Love Wins, and the Michael Dodd and the view of an evolving universe, the evolution of everything. I want to say this, and I'm going to be very clear. The spirit of Antichrist, operative since the death, resurrection, ascension of Christ, all the way back to the early church, mentioned in the book of 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist is not just opposed to the real Christ. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is an exchange, the offer of a different Christ. I mean, even Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 1. One way Satan seeks to derail the salvation of humanity is to try to offer a fake Christ. If he can't block you straight out, well, then if you're interested in spiritual things, let's offer you a fake Christ. And I'll tell you this, whether it's Masonic, Albert Pike, Helena Blavatsky, old wisdom of the ages, Rosicrucian teachings, whether it's the New Age, whether it's the spiritual teachings coming out of 2012 and the Maya, whether it's the global New Age movement, whether it's the new growing Gnostics today, across the board, the evidence is the spirit of Antichrist is providing an alternative, de-deified Christ, who is not the Christ of Scripture, not the Christ of Isaiah, not the Christ of Samuel, not the Christ of Daniel, not the Christ of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not the Christ of Gabriel, of the Virgin Mary, of Thomas, who cried out, "My Lord and my God," capital G. Everywhere I see the spirit of Antichrist in developing alternative and instead of, well, like Christ consciousness. And listen, those among alienologists and UFO abductees and so forth, the same thing. Those entities are teaching. They're teaching about Christ. Psychics are teaching about Christ. Remote viewers getting information from the Akashic Records, they're teaching about Christ. And collectively, they are all teaching about a reductionist view. Pretty much a view of a Christ that is so limited, so little, that by spiritual evolutionary osmosis, we can become just like him. I haven't met a Gnostic, haven't read about a Gnostic in 2,000 years that has done it. No one in the Masonic temples, anybody there, God yet? Nope, don't see it there. Don't see it among the alienologists. I don't see it among the New Agers. Don't see it among Hindu spirits, as they've taught. You know, so when we deal with the spirit of Antichrist instead of the real Christ, a presentation of a false Christ, and the false Christ can't save you, and a false Christ can't help you, and a false Christ doesn't love you, and a false Christ didn't die on a cross and wasn't buried and didn't conquer death, rise from the dead, ascend to heaven, a false Christ is not coming out of the heavens. And so the false Christ, though giving spiritual experience in all those alternative spiritual movements and views, none of it is the experience of the living God in human flesh, Christ, in all of his passion and all of his love for us. None of that out there can give what he alone has provided by what he did at the cross. You want change from the depths of the inside of you? You want freedom from the guilt of your sin, the penalty of your sin, the actual sin code operative inside? You want freedom from Satan's rights over you? If you're lost, the Bible says Satan has rights over you. If you're lost, hell has rights. You're hellbound already. What are you going to do about it? So the objections to hell, number one, well, God is love. God wouldn't do that. God loves all of humanity so much, he just simply wouldn't do that. Now, that's based on really, a view to where, and I read this with Rob Bell, Love Wins, and I read this among the Gnostics, and especially the New Agers too, and psychics. God loves so much. God is love, and God loves everyone, and God wants every. Well, you're right. God loves the world, and God doesn't want anybody to perish. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants change. And the change that God can bring is in Christ. The change that God can bring when Christ went on that cross is for the sum total of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2. He is the halosmos. That's the Greek word. Atoning sacrifice. Or propitiation. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. John the Baptist said it in the very beginning, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole of the world." There's the answer. There's the answer. Why don't you throw your fake Jesus, your pocket-sized Jesus down to the ground? He hadn't saved you. Why don't you throw that alternative view? Why don't you get rid of those spirit guides? Jesus can do that. The Spirit of God can reveal what they really are. Why don't you drop the finite to embrace the infinite in Christ? The objections to hell's existence. God is love. He is. That's why he came. That's why he went to the cross, being your personal sin bearer and the sin bearer of the whole world. God is love. It's his love that brought him. It's his love that brought the cross. There's the answer. And if you say, well, I don't want to believe in an eternal hell. I don't want to believe in all kind of stuff, but I want God's love. Well, let me tell you something. God loves you. Is there any reason why you haven't turned to the living Christ, to the God of heaven? Under the objections to hell, one of those is universalism. Yeah, there was even a couple so-called church fathers that taught it. That somewhere down the road, everybody would get saved. Really? Boy, there's people I've been working on for a long time. There's some of you that might be listening. You've heard it all again and again and again. And you know what the danger of that is? You becoming so hard. Your heart becoming so hard. I mean, there are people today that won't even listen. They become very, very hard. There are those that are so deep into sin, into Satan. One wonders whether they've crossed the line of reprobation. Romans chapter 1, whether God hands over some. Now, I leave that in the hands of God because, again, everything biblical revelation says, everything demonstrated in the character of God, the person of Christ, the Spirit of God, what I feel inside is the passion, the driving, compelling love of God. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want anybody lost. God doesn't want anybody in hell. So what's it all about? Well, it's about that thing some would call free human will. I mean, the freedom of the human will. You know what? Unless the human will is free, as biblical revelation or the free agency issue, there is no humanity. I mean, if universalism is not taught in the scriptures, and it's not, and if conditional immortality offered by, again, those who want to alter God's revelation and just say, well, God, you know, surely God wouldn't do that. So maybe what happens is those who reject God, reject Christ, reject and cling to being their own God and cling to the lie with Satan, maybe what will happen is they'll just be punished for a while and then let out. Like toxic waste, 1,000,000 years from now, will it be okay? 1,000,000 years from now, you know, will hearts change? What's going to change them? There's no Christ in hell. There's no gospel preaching in hell. There's no offer of change in hell. Did you know that? No evangelism there. No one to answer your prayers there. No healing, no deliverance. Yeah, it's the gravity of hell. It's the heaviness of hell. In working on this today, my wife come by looking over some of the materials, and I was telling her, and she says, you know, there's this old phrase, hell no, we won't go. And I'm afraid that there might be some that maybe even hellbound, defiant towards God, we're not going to hell. How are you going to stop it? Get the latest military weaponry and find hell's location and blast it away and destroy it. If hell doesn't exist, where do all of the fallen angels go? If you open the doors and shut down hell, where do they go? Where are all those that rejected? Where does Hitler go? Does Hitler come out and say, you know what? I want to be a great Christian now. I'm going to start a Sunday school class. Did you know that people go to hell because they choose to reject, to refuse the love of God and so be saved. You ever read in 2 Thessalonians 2? They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. If you're listening right now, you're not saved. You object, you sneer. Let me tell you now, when you are in hell, remember these words. You could have been saved. Jesus outside Jerusalem, God in human flesh, wept over Jerusalem. Do you know that? I mean, utterly wept over Jerusalem. I mean, all kinds of alternatives come and just, you know, we can deny its existence. We can stand and party till we puke and say, I ain't going. It's too much. It's not fair. And the reality behind all this is the question of who are the objectors? I mean, you know, the Pikes, the Masons, the Alice Baileys, the Gnostics, the New Agers, the 2012ers. It all seems in the spirituality that guides them that it screams, that's not fair. It's too much. God is too loving. It seems as though Satan has clearly put a spin on the realities of hell because he doesn't want it to be used in any form evangelistically. Satan doesn't care if you enter hell. Satanist, Luciferian, perpetrator. Satan doesn't care, would rather you enter into hell with him. He's always after more and more and more and more and more. As a matter of fact, Revelation 12, there's the prediction, there's the future, the dragon, the full force of his satanic manifest presence in the world in those days, in those coming days, seeks to lead the whole world astray. If you don't know Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have protection. The fierce, counterfeit, deceiving, seducing, dark side power will become stronger and stronger and stronger with one goal. Lead the whole world astray. Christians, when it comes to evangelism, what are you waiting on? If ever a time, truth is, from the coming of Christ, death, resurrection, ascension, the coming of God the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Now is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, God summons the totality of humanity. He summons the Chinese. He summons the Russians. Now listen, Romans 16, 25 down. Based on prophetic writings, based on the gospel itself, based on the eternal command of God, God wants all nations to be saved, to believe in Christ, to repent, to change. That's God's will. And if God's will is freedom from hell, freedom from judgment, the wrath of God off, sin off, a new nature in, the coming glorification, which there will never be sin again. Don't you want that? If that's the answer, if that's what God offers, don't you want that? All of a sudden you have a heart attack. The ambulance comes and begins to take you. Now it takes you down to Joe's garage, just a guy that tinkers with lawnmowers. And they wheel you out and bring you into Joe, the lawnmower repair guy's garage. Do you want Joe to work on your heart? Do you want the lawnmower repair guy to work on your heart? Do you really want dark spirits operative and working and trying to... Do you really want their answer? Let me ask the question, if you've embraced their answers, is the core of your nature changed by the eternal God? Is the gift of eternal, indestructible, irreversible immortality dwelling in you? Do you understand the passion of God? It's the only reason I'm here. It's the only reason for this voice. Are the objectors justified? The objectors that would cry out, hell's too much. So therefore, we've got to come up with annihilationism. We got to make God look better. We got to make God look good. Somehow we got to dress God up and show that when it comes to radical, horrific, horrifying, fixed, eternal natures in Satan and fallen angels and in some humans, we got to make it look good. Do you have an? Let me stop. Do you have a better idea? What do you do with radical evil? What do you do with individuals that spit in your face and don't want God? What do you do with radical, toxic evil? Do you got a better idea? Yeah, listen, better idea. Ship all those who don't want God, don't want no more war, no more rape, no more evil, no more stealing, no more, you know, sin. They want to get rid of all those who don't want to get rid of that. Just ship them to another planet. That's right. Put them on another planet. Isn't that what we do with people in jail today? Isn't that what we did with the when Castro unleashed his jails and the worst of the worst, the Marilitos and others, the worst of the worst when it came to criminals were released and shipped, and all of a sudden law enforcement had to deal with the Marilitos and horrific crime and all kinds of stuff. Americans, you know, all kinds of stuff occurred. He cleansed his prisons, unleashed them on the United States. What are we going to do? What about let's create robots. Let's somehow, by new genetics, new DNA procedures, let's literally change people on our own. Humans changing humans. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer, he was drilling holes in the heads of his victims, trying to create, you know, it's like a lobotomy, trying to create zombies so he can have demonized sex with them. How do you change him? Is there a pill? A force? Can you reprogram his will, his mind, his personality? Maybe Cameron out of Canada. Remember the psychiatrist? The psychologist? You know, what about Estabrooks? What about Sidney Gottlieb? What about the fathers of modern mind control? Maybe they can just simply use a ECT unit. They can... What's prison about today? Is there anyone we want to let out? Can you ask the governor of the state where Charles Manson is in prison? Can you go ahead and ask them to let him out and you take him into your home where your children and daughters are? And Charles Manson comes to live in your house. And every day at breakfast and all day long, you get to engage Charles Manson. You want Charles Manson? What's the alternative? What's the better idea? Can I read something to you? It comes out of the book of Job. And Job, in all of his suffering, Job in all of his pain, Job in all the stuff going on, didn't have any idea in the beginning that it was Satan behind the scenes, didn't understand radical evil, didn't understand the eternal nature of radical evil. You know, radical evil is an eternal thing, unless it's changed, and that by God, and the avenue, Christ, the cross, but for humanity only. Job 40, here's what it says, verse 2. God speaking now, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I'm unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. For the objectors out there, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can you Can your voice thunder like this? Can you adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty? Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. You know what God says? Verse 14. If you can do all that, then I myself will admit to you that you, listen, that your own right can save, your own right hand can save you. To the objectors, to those that want to water it all down. You ever read Job 40? Do you understand the infinite, all-wise, loving, awesome nature of God? Do you understand that God seeks nothing but the salvation of humanity? But it's found in the avenue that God has given here and now. The warnings are clear that afterward there is no new redemption. Afterward in hell, Hades, Gehenna, the lake of fire. There's no gospel preaching, no prayer, no offer to be changed then. It's evidence about, it's evidence of fixed wills. Let me say to the church, let me say to the believers and the pastors, it's not about, you know, and a lot of people use the word fundamentalism, like some use the racist N-word. People use it today just to be derogatory towards other individuals. But what I want to say is this, it's not the way Jesus did it. It wasn't that he was screaming red-faced, veins popping out of his neck, mad and angry and mean at people saying, you know, basically, I hate you, you're going to go to hell, turn or burn. That wasn't his approach. I want all Christians to understand this phrase. Your methods, if they're not by the Spirit of God, not in the character of Christ, your methods can mask the glorious, awesome gospel of God in Christ in his love for humanity. There are some really fleshly Christians out there that hate everybody else. And that is, that questions whether you're even saved. Obviously, you'd be utterly backslidden. And the judgment seat of Christ, if you don't take care of it now, God will take care of it then. Does the church need to water down? Well, listen, what does God say? Look at Job and read through that chapter. What does God say? Are you going to be a faithful believer? Are you going to be an honest, faithful believer in sharing the counsel of God? Anybody have the right to correct God? Water down? Does it grieve the Spirit of God? Does it get saved? Anybody saved to water it down? No. I think it plays into the hands of Satan. Right now, come to Christ. Right now, let the fullness of God's grace come to you. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.